Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. I got a lot to say and only about 3 hours to say it in. Psalms 118 and 16, I'll read one verse and I'll let you be seated. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Lord, I'm thankful this morning for your right hand, and you work on your left hand. You uphold me with one and you work with the other one. And we're thankful, Lord, for the hands of God that are upon our lives. And let my hand always be in your hand, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I do feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I'm telling you, I don't know if you do, but I do. I feel it. David said his right hand is powerful. It's exalted. It's so powerful, he said, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore. He whipped me till I was sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. I'm black and blue, but I'm still alive. I'm in the land of the living. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. No, he sang that song, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. My Lord, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. I'm dependent on you. The stone, he said, which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This was prophecy that they would refuse Jesus and he would become the cornerstone of our salvation. This is the Lord's doings. Say this with me. This is the Lord's doings. It's the Lord's doings. It's, you know, all the everything that's going on in your life, just think about what's going on in your life. Think about it. It's the Lord's doings. It's not your doings. It's the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. I love what the Lord is doing. As I've said before, you know, when my daddy used to chasten me with the belt, I always said my daddy was a patriotic man. He laid on the stripes and I saw the stars. But, you know, it was a marvelous work. He was chastening me, but I didn't die. And it became a marvelous work, what he was doing and my mother in my life. And this is the day. This is the so often quoted. This is the day, this marvelous day, that day of correction, that day of reproving. That's still the day of the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to talk to you this morning and teach from my heart on this little topic, the anatomy of a good day. The anatomy. Let's dissect it out. Let's look at your day. Let's look at my day. Many times people come up, you having a good day? You having a good day? Because they got something they want to tell you, but they want to make sure you're having a good day. Don't want to waste my words on your bad day. Because I know if I tell you something good, by the time I get through, you're going to tell me everything that's bad. So are you having a good day this morning before we go any further with the sermon? A good life begins with a good day. And a good day begins with good understanding. Because chastening, that's, it sounds like a bad day. But if you understand it, it's a good day. It's a good day. David said it was good for me that I went astray. Come on. It's good for me, he said, that I went astray. Because now, he said, it's good for me that I was afflicted. That's what he said. Now, it's good for me that I was afflicted. Because now I don't go astray. I'm glad. It was a good day when he afflicted me. It didn't seem like it. But it really was a good day. And it was the Lord's doings and not mine. I want to help you understand the anatomy of having a good day. A day is not always just 24-hour segment of time, but it is a day which we live in, right? Look at the day we live in. He even said the days will be evil. This is an evil day. Evil's always been, but this is a day of evil. When God created the heavens and the earth, we talked about this Tuesday night, that it was 6 days, and it was 6 days of creation, not because he said the evening and the morning were the first day and the evening and the morning were the second day. It wasn't because it was a 24-hour period, although some believe that, but really what it was a segment of time in which God could reflect back on what he had done. A lot of times you look back and say, in my day, right? When was your day? Well, usually high school. You don't talk about when you was two or three. That wasn't your day. Your day is when you were set free to do what you wanted to do. That's your day. Back in my day, we did. And so God, when he created the heavens and the earth, the evening and morning was the first day, second through the sixth, and then the seventh, he said, each day, it's good. It was a good day. He looked at the day. Now, everything wasn't finished, but it was still a good day. In other words, I accomplished today what I wanted to accomplish for this segment of time. And then when he looked at all the 6 days together, he added the adverb, it was very good. He looked at all of them and said, you know, this is really coming together. See, when the days start coming together, your life starts coming together. Amen. Somebody said, oh, go get a life. You know, get a life. I've heard people tell me that was not long ago, someone was angry at me, oh, you have a good day. I said, I believe I will. I'm not going to let what you did destroy my day. Because this day belongs to the Lord. This is the Lord's day. This is not my day. This is the Lord's day. Amen. A lot of times, you old timers, you ask them how they're doing, and they say, well, I have some good days and I have some bad days. And they're measuring those days on how they feel. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just trying to teach you about the anatomy of a good day. It's based on how they're feeling. But I want to talk about the spiritual day. Because that's what I live for. I don't know. My days are not really gauged by what people do or what. It's not gauged by that. If you gauge your day by physical things, all that, you're going to have a lot of bad days. You're going to be. That's what depression is bad day after bad day after bad day after bad day. Because you're not looking at the spirit side of things. You're looking at the carnal side of things. So you get depressed looking at it day after day after day after day. It's just bad, 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 bad. You get depressed. But when you look at things through the spiritual eyes, It's every day's a good day. This is a good day. Amen. David mastered the art of turning a bad day into a good day by the way he looked at it. Even in his errors, he would say that the Lord hath chastened me sore, yet he's not given me over to death. A lot of times a good day is just saying it could have been worse. You ever turned your day around and said, well, I'm all right with that. Could have been worse. He also spoke of the builders, that how they refused and rejected him. Sounds like a bad day. He said, no, it's a good day, because when they rejected me, or rejected Christ, he said, Christ became the cornerstone. And whose throne did Christ say he would sit on? The rejected one, David. The one that everyone rejected. He said, I'm going to sit on that. That's going to be the cornerstone. That'll be my throne. I'm going to sit on the throne of David, the rejected one. This is the day the Lord hath made. He said, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He said in one of his psalms, he said this, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was a child. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was a little boy. Let me tell you what somebody did to me. And we can go through all of this. And he said, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. I want to take what was a bad day and turn it into a good day. Yet they have not prevailed. They plowed upon my back, he said, they made long their furs. But the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cord of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. See, he turned those bad days into good days by looking at it in a spiritual way and not in a carnal, physical way. I hope to help somebody this morning. My God. Because it's up to you to determine what kind of day you have, because it's all based on how you perceive it and how you look at it. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and you should rejoice in every step you take. Every step. If it's ordered of the Lord, the pit that Joseph found himself in was ordered of the Lord. Even Samson and Delilah. You hear me? Even Samson and Delilah, the Bible says that his parents knew not that this was of God. David wrote a psalm, this one here. Have you ever heard this one? Yea, I walk through the valley, the shadow of death. It's a bad day, yet I'm going to fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. I'm having a great day today. Hallelujah. I'm in the valley, but I'm still having a great day. Amen. I'm eating good in the presence of my enemies. Turn those bad days into good days when you look at it through the eyes of Christ. Wow, the cross looked bad, but he looked at the joy on the other side of the cross, and he turned a bad day into a good day. Mm-mm-mm. The secret to having a good life starts with having good days, and the secret to having good days is to start having good thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think evil, you are evil. If you want to think evil, you are evil. You want to dwell on evil, you are an evil dweller. And you become what you think on. For out of the abundance of a heart, the mouth does speak. David wrote this psalm. He said, "For with thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light shall we see light." That's like, duh. But in his light, you see good. You see the light of it. But as long as you don't have him to show you why you stumbled, why you failed, and why this happened to you, he picks you up. And knowing that, well, I may not know now, but like the old song says, I'll understand it better by and by. He puts you in his light that you may see through his eyes why you go through what you go through. And John wrote this, it just reflected back to the genesis of the New Testament, if you will. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. My God. And the light shineth where? In darkness. But the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. There are people that sit in darkness. And they will, no matter how many good things you tell. I have learned this working with depressed people. No, you can tell them all. You can give them a laundry list of all the good things. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And then you say, what's wrong? You know what they say? I don't know. And they don't. Because they're not comprehending the light. That's why they don't know. I'm not ridiculing them. I'm just saying they don't know because the light of the glorious gospel of Christ has not turned on in their life. Because when you get his light in you, you see things different. Tell you what, let's turn the lights off and then turn them back on. You'll see everything different. And the light of his glorious gospel in you helps you see everything different. Because you don't need all this laundry list of stuff, me telling you why you shouldn't be depressed. I have life. I have life. This is a good day. His life became the light of men. To where I began to look at everything different than I used to look at it. Amen. The scripture says that all things are for my good. Do you remember that verse? If all things are for my good, then every day is good. There's no bad days. Now, I'm not one of those, and I hope you understand that. I'm not one of those that believe every day is peaches and creams. I understand some days are worse than others, and things happen some days. But I'm not one of those either that goes around and having a bad day and say, how are you today? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I mean, you're just full of it. I remember Brother Valentine, your wife's dad. I remember him. I'll never forget Buddy Odeker, wasn't it? If you ask him, I knew he wasn't having good days. I knew it was some dark days. But I'd go ask him, I'd say, Brother Buddy, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. He didn't tell me about all that. I'm doing pretty good. So let that come out of your mouth. Could be worse. Thank the Lord.
I understand the darkness is brings on fear and everything else, but somehow the light's got to come up. The, you know, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Why? Light comes on. The light comes up, and you begin to see things differently. Some people feel they can't enjoy life. They can't have good days because I got this nasty old job. I can't enjoy life as long as I'm married to Johnny. You know, I can't enjoy life as long as I got three kids at home. I can't enjoy life. Let me tell you something. Listen close. I have a life, and I have a job. The job is not my life. The kids are not my life. My life belongs to Him. In Him do I live and move and have my being. So if you get that life, then those other things can't destroy my life. Yes, I have a job. And yes, it has ups and downs. Yes, I pastor a church. It has certainly ups and downs. But God is my life. And I know what people mean when they say church is my life. I know what they mean. They mean that faithfulness to God is my life. And those are happy people when church is your life. Okay, let me give you about four or five things here on the anatomy of a good day, and I'll try to hurry through it. Number one, if you want to have a good day, here they are. Write them down. Put your day in God's hands. Put your day. When you get up this morning, in the morning, put your day in God's hands. Here's what James said. He said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go and do such go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." In other words, we're going to go here. I'm leaving the past behind and I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to start over and I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to get gain. I'm going to do good. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have good days now. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." You don't know what tomorrow will bring. "For what is your life," right? What is your life anyway? You're talking about going to a city and dwelling there a year and having good. Tomorrow you may be in a hospital. And all those things you thought you were going to do, they're not going to come to fruition. "For what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away." Boy, is that not true. "For that ye ought to say," here's what you ought to say. See, this is putting your day in the hands of God. "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Put the Lord first. If the Lord will, I'll go to this city and I'll be there a year and have gain. Don't go by your will to have a good day. Go by His will. Amen. And when your will is first, you and foremost in your life, you're headed for a lot of days of disappointments. A lot of days of disappointments. I like structure. Y'all know that. I'm a very structured person, but I feel like I'm balanced structured. There's a difference. People that are too structured have lots of bad days because they got it structured exactly what's going to happen tomorrow at 10:30. They got it all, and you don't know what's going to happen between 8:30 and 9:30 that mess up your 10:30. I have a kind of an idea. You know, this may work out. This is kind of what I want to do tomorrow. And if it don't work out, well, big deal. I'll still have a good day. But when you overstructure your life, what happens is that you can't have these consistent good days because the next morning, man, I didn't plan on that. Now I can't, you know, and then your day is shot. When am I going to? Well, you plan to your day. There's other things that destroys your day. So you have to put your day in God's hands and realize this must be what the Lord wants. It interrupted my day, but it's not going to turn my day into a bad day. Number two, pray your way through the day. Pray your way through the day. Amen. When Jesus' disciples came to him, they said, "Teach us how to pray." He didn't say, "Well, let's pray that by the time I die, I'm going to have $100,000 in the bank." And I'm going. He gave them a daily prayer. It was a daily prayer. Pray on this wise. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us this day of our trespasses. We forgive others this day that trespass against us. This day don't lead me into temptation. This day deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever. But give me this day. And so when you operate through prayer, we talk about prayer without ceasing. And yes, you can have a prayer in your heart all day long. All day long.
Just pray your way through the day. Pray your way through. And we know that scripture very well. In 1 Timothy 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That does not mean be on my knees for 24/7. What it means is there is a prayer in my heart at all times. I believe that's the way to live. I have something in my heart. When I see people, Lord, I can go to the cash register at Wendy's and I look at this lady or this man, whoever it is, and I wonder, Lord, help this person. Lord, they need this. There's someone that checks us out at a place. This lady, I know she needs prayer. And I pray for her and I pray for these people. It's a pray without ceasing kind of thing. Now, we know this pray without ceasing, but can I read you the scriptures before and after it? Because it's really the setup for a good day. When you go to 1 Timothy 5:13, it says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I mean, you can't have a good day and not be at peace. Peace is the destroyer. I mean, when you destroy peace, you've destroyed your day. You have to have the peace of God in you that the world cannot destroy. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. You want people to be patient with you. Be patient with other people. See that none render evil for evil. I've had people tell me, well, you shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't have done that back. You can't solve evil for evil. That does not... You overcome evil, good triumphs evil. Return not evil for evil, but good for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good. You want to have a good day? Follow that which is good. Who is good? God. God is good. Follow God. But both among yourselves and all men. Follow things that are good. He said, if you want peace, follow after peace. If you want chaos, be around people that are in chaos. You want peace? Be around peaceful people. Then he said, rejoice evermore. This is an everyday rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing every day. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Let me read that again. For in everything be thankful. Everything. This is the anatomy of a good day. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Wow, there's so many ways you can quench the spirit of a good day. So many ways. My day was going good until. Well, you're living by the day. Live by a spiritual day, and no matter what happens, you can find the good in it. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. See, now them little detective kind of things that they're going to find how they killed, what do they call that? Forensic files and stuff like that. See, I can't handle that. I can't handle that. I'm just telling you, I can't handle that. I thought, wow, I'll see how they caught this guy. Oh, poisoned him with antifreeze, huh? We got any antifreeze around the house? And then when I go to bed at night, my mind is just as evil. Come on, don't act like you don't have an evil mind. When it goes to sleep at night, it's gonna go wherever your mind went during the day. So I cut all that stuff out. Amen. So when I dream, it's good now. It's not only a good day, it's a good night. You can't watch these evil things and not be evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, I could park there a while. And the very God of peace sanctify you completely. He said, this is the anatomy of a good day. Get away from all the world and the things of the world. For if any man love the world or the thing, you can't be an observer of the things of the world and not be part of it too.
When you go to the, if you go to the football game, baseball game, you're not on the field, but you're an observer. You're part of the game. And you know what they'll say when they win the game? They'll say, well, I thank you for all my fans that are out here. You see, you're part of the game. And what I'm preaching is you can't observe the things of the world, the evil things the world do on whatever, even if it's on one of them Pentecostal monitors. Observe all the things of the world and think that you're not going to be evil. It's not going to happen. They used to have this little thing called, let's see, what was it? Family Feud. No. Mm-mm. Risque. Nope. Y'all can go ahead and feud if you want to, but I'm just telling you, you cannot, the questions and things they ask are, if I can't read it here, come on. Let's play the same game here and see if you'll participate. If it don't work here, it don't work out there either. Because I want the peace of God to sanctify me wholly, completely, entirely. My thoughts, my minds, my day, my life, and my eternal life. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, I've got to hurry. Number three. Anatomy of a good day. Gauge your day based upon spiritual things, not physical or carnal things. Gauge your day. Measure that day based upon spiritual things. And here, let me give you an example. Let's just say you have a squabble with somebody and you can walk away and say, man, it messed my day up. That's not what makes a bad day. I understand that there's hurt feelings and all this kind of stuff. Here's what makes a good day. Did you handle it in a godly way? No matter what the squabble was, what I'm looking at is, did I handle this in a godly way? If the answer is yes, I've had a good day then. Praise the Lord. Because you're going to have trouble. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have family problems. Come on, y'all's family's nuts too. You're going to have family problems. But it's how you handle those things in a spiritual way makes a good day or a bad day. Don't gauge your day on what somebody said or hurt feelings. Gauge your day on how you handled it. Number four, I've got to rock along here. Number four, have, and I preached this a whole sermon one time, have one dominant goal for each day that you can accomplish. Let me say it again. Have one, not five or six, I got to get that, no. One dominant goal every day that you can accomplish. Don't put your heart and sight on something that you know you can't finish. Everything got to go perfect to get this to happen. Don't do that. Have one goal that if I get this done today, then I feel like I have accomplished something. It's obtainable. And too many people set their own goals too high and they can't even reach them. And so tomorrow's a bad day and the next day's a bad day and the next day's a bad day. That'd be like saying, my goal as a Christian, I'm never going to sin again. I'll never meet that goal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all will continue to sin. David said it this way in Psalm 31 and 1. He said, Lord, my heart is not haughty. Haughty means to have a proud and an arrogant heart. Mine eyes are not lofty, meaning to have an arrogant look about me. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. I can't be like you. My goal is not to play the guitar as good as you or better than you. My goal is to be me when I play the guitar. My goal is not to preach like somebody else. My goal is to be me when I preach. Set your goals on what you can obtain and not what you want to obtain. Did that make sense? Set it on what you can obtain. I'll never play as good as him. But in my mind, I'm as good as him. In my own way. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. I'm not a crybaby. I quit complaining. I quit whining. And, whining. We got a lot of whiny folks. They whine. Just whine, whine. They never grew up. Just whine. My daddy used to say, "You want to keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about." You heard that too? David knew how to have a good day because he wrote a psalm, and at the end of every one of them, he said, "His mercy's new every morning. His mercy is new. I'm going to have a good day tomorrow because His mercy is new every morning. I already know that, so tomorrow's going to be a good day too. I don't have to worry about facing tomorrow because I know His grace is sufficient unto the day." My Lord. Number five, give God the glory for every day. The anatomy of a good day. Give God the praise and the glory for every day. Amen. The scripture says this in Psalms 96:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Shew forth His salvation from day to day. Amen. Every day gets sweeter. We used to sing that old song, "As the days go by." Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Amen. Amen. How can you declare His glory when you walk around with a sad face and having bad days? And they say, what difference does it make you going to church and you say you're a Christian, you're living for God? Your day looks worse than my day. Declare His glory among the heathen, among the world, and His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared of all gods. Amen. Jesus sent His disciples out and told them to go out and cast out devils and do all these things in My name. And they came back saying, "We're having a good day here today. You have a good day today?" And old John said, "Yeah, I cast out 5 of them devils today. What about you, James?" "Yeah, about 6 or 7 devils I cast out." And they were having good days. And the Lord, and they come back and said, "Man, we're having a good day today." I like places when you call and say, "We're having a great day today." You ever call those places? They're trying to set you in the mode of having a great day too. That's why they say that. "We're having a great day here at Mark Dodge," or whatever it is. They want you to have a great day too so they can have a better day. But they were all like, "Boy, we're having a great day." And He said, "Whoop, wait a minute. Don't rejoice over that the devils are subject to you. But today you should rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." That's worth... Paul said, "If I had hope in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. But I have hope today. I have hope tomorrow. I have hope. I have hope, eternal hope in Him. And that gives me the light of God to have a good day every day." In the name of the Lord. God bless you. Take a quick break and we'll be back for morning worship.